Jasper. Jasper.
Right, Jasper. Yeah. You were telling me.
It's ready now?
Yes, go on.
Okay, Charlie, welcome to Rio Grande Attractive Limited. And I hope you do enjoy with us today. It's a pleasure being with you. And it's very nice for the first time.
It is.
You want to say something to me?
Yes.
Say, talk to me and I talk to you.
Excellent.
Ask me a question.
Excellent.
First time seeing you, and we do appreciate you. I can see future in Rafting. You're trying to bring us good things.
Thank you.
Charlie, welcome.
Thank you.
This is Rafting Race. And I wish you all the best. And I hope success with us in you. Hope we can live incorporated each other. Charlie, welcome.
Thank you. So, but I wanted you to explain to me the numbers on the Raftsman. That is, what's your number?
Charlie, my number is 67, but we do run a raster system. You stick the numbers in the board, you go down the line, you call numbers, Charlie. Everybody's supposed to get an equal share, Charlie.
And your number 67, and Loxley's
68.
And you and Loxley got 67 and 68.
Yeah,
because
when I was first getting my license, I get my license in 1967. Uh-huh. And my number is really 67, Charlie. And I meet a lot of people, Charlie, from all over the world. It's a good job. You meet people, you make friends, you keep learning every day, Charlie. This is good business in Jamaica, Rio Grande Rafting. Very, very nice. And I invite a lot of people from all over the world to come and see what Jamaica is like. It's very nice in the river. The birds, fish, it's nice. People talking, but if you just come and see, you will know what river rafting is like. Rio Grande River Rafting. Charlie, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. But I still want to know about these numbers. See, I want to figure out the system. You're 67,
yeah.
And Loxley 68, and 84. Tell me about 84.
84. Why 84 again? Charlie, I don't want to...
Oh, I see.
I was concerned about this discussion being carried on by the Attorney General.
Yes.
Because he is strictly speaking the legal advisor to government.
Yes.
And this is a straight matter of policy of the government of the day.
Yes.
I would have thought that the matter that is so important to all the citizens of this country
would have been carried on by the Prime Minister?
By the Prime Minister himself.
Yes.
Because that is my view. It's not a matter for those who are technically learned in the law.
Yes.
It's a matter of policy that affects the lives of the people.
But also, sir, it's not just a matter of policy. Surely, it is a constitutional matter.
Ah, yes. Oh, don't about that. And again, that's another point we made. It is, to me, more important than even the question whether we have an executive president or a ceremonial president.
Yes.
Under the Republican system of
yes.
government.
Yes.
Which is what is going to be submitted to a referendum.
Yes.
One would imagine that this question of a Caribbean court of justice mm-hmm. as the final court of appeal for the region,
yes.
that, as I say, impinges on the life of all of us, should be a part of this question of constitutional reform.
Absolutely.
Wherein the referendum is held and the people make a decision, especially when it looks as if the question of establishing the court will of necessity mean abolition of appeals to the Privy Council.
Absolutely.
They do not necessarily go together.
Uh-huh.
I would have thought that the sensible and practical approach should be, You keep both of them running.
Yes.
And by the test of time.
Yes.
You realize that either this Caribbean Court of Justice isn't working.
Uh-huh.
And you still have the Privy Council. Alternatively,
yes.
That the Privy Council is no longer necessary.
Because the court is working so well.
Well,
and people feel that they're getting justice.
Why link them together?
Uh-huh.
I suppose in this issue, everything that can be said has been said. And the argument about how much it costs, as I see is reported by the Attorney General.
Mm-hmm.
How much it costs. There's no price tag to justice, you know.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
But the statement...
costs are real.
The statement made by the Attorney General,
yes,
is nonsensical in terms of cost. Because it costs... that figure that he gave there, $3 million Jamaican dollars, to go to the Privy Council. It can cost you that to go to the Supreme Court.
Well, another point is it can.
Yes.
But then it doesn't cost us to maintain the Privy Council, but it's going to cost us to maintain the Caribbean Court of Justice.
Absolutely.
I am not against this Caribbean Court, but I am against getting rid of the Privy Council.
Yes.
And establishing the Caribbean Court the Privy Council.
The other disturbing thing.
The argument about cost cannot spin because you cannot put a price tag on justice. There's no prices too great to pay for that.
There also is another element here. The Attorney General is giving the impression that only a few people can afford to go to the Privy Council, which means that the majority, which seems to be intended to imply that the majority of people in Jamaica have no access to the Privy Council and therefore do not benefit from the decisions of the Privy Council. Is that true?
Well, you benefit in that you will know what the law is on the point.
But not only do you know, sir, but the law applies to you too.
Exactly. And uh-huh. Secondly, this thing about you can go and form a pauperist, you know.
Yes.
File an affidavit setting out your means.
Uh-huh.
You really can't afford it.
Oh, is that
the
so?
There's provision for the appeal to be heard in form of pauperist.
Yes.
Certainly in capital cases,
uh-huh,
you get the benefit of English counsel and solicitor.
So you do not, in fact, have to be able to put up $3 million in order to have your case heard by the Privy Council.
It depends on what case it is. Eh?
Yes.
It depends on what case.
Uh-huh.
There's provision for certain cases.
Criminal cases?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I'm
not sure about civil, whether it applies to civil cases. I'm not sure on constitutional issues.
Yes.
But I'm sure that in criminal cases.
Uh-huh.
You see, the argument that I mentioned about price and the cost, the other argument is establishing what is called this Caribbean culture,
mm-hmm,
with the emphasis on the calypso or the reggae.
Yes.
You know, as one lawyer put it very aptly, putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Syllable.
But the point is, when I speak of Caribbean culture, I expect Caribbean culture to embrace all the countries in the Caribbean that were once colonies of metropolitan Europe.
Yes.
You can't just select four former British colonies,
uh-huh,
and say you're going to establish a Caribbean culture.
Yes.
If we're going to start, let us start the right way. The former Dutch, Spanish, and French colonies should be embraced.
Yes.
What happens when Suriname joins CARICOM? Are they going to be subject to the court? As I asked the professor last night, do you know of any country where you establish a court having jurisdiction over sovereign nations before there is a political union?
Yes.
He says he didn't know of any. I don't know of any, but maybe there are some. I'm not saying advocating a political union,
yes,
but aren't we putting the cart before the horse?
Uh-huh.
You know?
The other thing that disturbs me about this is that it is being made out. If you can argue the case on the basis that you would, that it serves the interests of justice to have a Caribbean court rather than a Privy Council, and it seems to me that if then that would be valid, and it seems to me that if the Chief Justice of Jamaica is going to enter this debate, those are the only terms on which he should be entering it, that it serves better the interests of justice to come for the Chief Justice to be coming and telling people about foreign masters and who is white and who is black, which is what is implicit in what he's saying. It seems to me to be entirely out of order.
Well, maybe when we see the full text of what he said, you'll get a different interpretation.
Well, that is possible, but Certainly from what I see in the papers here, I think it is disgraceful.
Well, I don't know if disgraceful is a strong word, eh?
Uh-huh.
And one needs to know before you do that to know exactly what
the paper is quoting the Chief Justice.
Yes.
And it is not quoting him as saying that it would better serve the interest of justice for us to have a final court of appeal in the Caribbean.
Well, that is his personal view, you know.
Yes, but...
There are 2.5 million minus one,
yes,
who also have views.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Some would agree with him, some would not agree with him.
Yes.
I, for example, would not agree that justice must be looking inward for justice.
Uh-huh.
We have withdrawn from the United Nations Convention on Civil and Political Rights.
Yes.
I don't know why.
Uh-huh.
You have... you're getting rid of the Privy Council.
Uh-huh.
I regard that as looking inward.
Uh-huh.
And that's almost been, what's the word I call it now? Cannibalism almost.
Yeah, but you know, so we're withdrawn from the United Nations.
But why don't we stop speaking English?
Yes, indeed. Good question. Good question. Why don't we stop having right honorables?
Why don't we give up British honors?
Yes.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And I think that we should be looking outward for the solution of our problems. When you read the report, you see that the English reports now refer to American cases and to
absolutely
Zealand cases.
Which brings me to another point. I form the impression that the real problem with the Privy Council is that the judges of the Privy Council are not subject to local appointment, and that therefore our local politicians cannot control the personnel of the court nor influence the judgments of the court. Now, the Attorney General, a great deal has been made about the Pratt & Morgan case,
yeah.
Right? The Attorney General made a speech to the students of the Norman Manley Law School some time ago, which was published in the newspaper, what's the name of it? The Observer, of the 13th of October last year. And he talked about the new drift in the libel law, mentioned the Derbyshire case and one or two others. And then he says that in the Caribbean cultural setting, where attacks on public figures tend to be highly personalized, the law must move in a direction which seeks to make that fine distinction between the management and conduct of a public office and what are essentially personal attacks on the reputation of the public figure. And he goes on, but he seeks to give the impression that the decisions such as were made in Derbyshire are not suitable to the Caribbean culture.
Yeah.
Right? And I have a feeling, sir, that that kind of decision, which exposes public and governmental issues to free public discussion, is not satisfactory to the kind of politics that we have in Jamaica.
Of course, may I
ask you to hold for a moment?
For 14 years, Grains Jamaica has consistently produced the best quality rice at the best possible price for the Jamaican market. And being the only rice mill and major supplier of rice in Jamaica, we can afford to provide premium standard at minimum cost. Grains Jamaica Limited, Montego Freeport, Montego Bay, telephone 979-8886, doing our part to feed Jamaica. The time compliments of Grains Jamaica, 29 and a half before 11 o'clock.
Did you pay your light bill?
Remember, reconnection now costs you more.
Power to be your best. Keeps you going way ahead of the rest. Conquer the world again and again.
every time I grab a can and pop the lid of train. Sports Gen, always for the day. Sports Gen, always for the tradition. Gives you the power to be your best.
Different tasting chocolate and vanilla energy drink.
Sports Gen.
Pump up the volume this Christmas with a new stereo from Korns. Purchase a little Batalua Shot Mini System for only $27,995 cash plus tax. Or on Korns Easy Payment Plan for just $431 a week. And get a $5,000 gift voucher free to watch your next Korns purchase. Plus a fabulous free gift and entrance to win at Vivermania. Stereo offer on at Korns stores in every parish until December 5. Volume sounds for mini price. Hurry.
This is Perkins Online. You can reach us by calling 952-0145 and 952-4081 from Montego Bay, and 960-8455 and 960-8456 from Kingston. Toll free, 1-888-991-4430. Now, back to Perkins Online.
Thank you very much. We're back here with you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But you see, you're quoting from the Attorney General's speech. I mean, one has to look, first of all, whether the courts will accept his opinion as to that.
Uh-huh.
That speech seems to go along with what you refer to as the Pratt and Morgan decision.
Yes.
The abolition of Privy Council is to get at particular decisions.
Yes.
As distinct from general principles. Well, mm-hmm. if that is why it is being done, it has been denied, but if that were the reason, then it would be quite wrong.
It is quite wrong and would be very dangerous.
It would be. And this question of a point...
But the problem, half of the problem there, sir, is that men are not likely to come out and admit that that is what they're doing.
Well...
Right? But what we are entitled to do...
Another point, you know.
I beg your pardon?
There's a point I can't agree with you on.
Yes.
The appointment of judges.
Yes.
You seem to think that it should be taken completely out of the hands of the politicians,
uh-huh.
in the sense of the government of the day, whether in consultation with the opposition or not.
Uh-huh.
You know, Gavin Barbier, the Chief Justice, appoints all judges of the High Court.
Uh-huh.
So I'm told, I haven't checked on it.
The Chief Justice?
The Prime Minister. Sorry, the Prime Minister. Which is a little further than we go, because
yes.
we have commissions.
Yes, sir.
In our present constitutional situation,
uh-huh.
this is the only acceptable way. On the other hand, it has to be the elected of the people.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
This is why the whole of this issue should be submitted to the people, whether or not you're going to have a Caribbean court. And
yes.
then a part of that is how you're going to structure the appointment of judges to this court. These are constitutional issues.
One of the problems that we have under our existing constitution, we talk blithely about making independent appointments. There is no available mechanism under our existing constitution for making an independent appointment.
Well, what do you call an independent appointment?
An independent appointment. Well,
you know,
the framers of our
to make the decision.
The framers of our present constitution were themselves concerned about the issue of political appointments.
Yes.
Right? They were concerned that politicians in office making appointments would make appointments that favored their party or favored themselves or whatever. In other words, that they would use power corruptly in making appointments. And the Constitution provided a mechanism for insulating certain critical public appointments from, including that of judges, from such political influence.
Well,
am I right?
That's a different thing from
no,
speaking about independent appointments.
No, but hold on just a moment.
I mean, to remove it from partisan political
yes.
flavor
yes.
is different from speaking about independence.
Well, independence can be spoken of in the sense that it is we are appointing persons removed from partisan political flavor.
The individual.
The individual.
Or the appointment.
Or the, well, we are hoping to have judges who would not bring partisan, politically partisan considerations
yes.
to bear in the making of judgments.
Yes.
And we hope to have policemen and civil servants
yes.
who would behave similarly.
Yes.
Now, if that is what we want, then we are going to have some mechanism for insulating those appointments from political flavor. And the Constitution, the framers of the Constitution, were quite clearly concerned about that issue.
Yes.
And they attempted...
The system of constitutional that we have in Jamaica, constitutional governance as we have in Jamaica, you cannot talk about independence and commission because the executive and the legislature is supposed to represent the people.
Yes.
Are so intimately associated
absolutely.
That the executive dominates the legislature.
Absolutely.
So the people's voice is not heard.
Absolutely.
It becomes almost an executive appointment.
Absolutely.
And therefore, the question of this court with all the other aspects about appointment of judges,
yes.
the matter is that the people should get involved in a referendum as to constitutional reform.
Yes, sir, but I have a further point to make on this question of the...
And the
Constitution,
the judiciary, the separation of powers, these are matters that must come in a question of constitutional reform. Basic questions like this.
Yes. What our Constitution has done is to seek by the mechanism of the commission, the Public Service Commission, the Police Service Commission, the Judicial Service Commission, to insulate those appointments from the direct political influence.
Objective.
But it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked, because who is it that appoints the members of the commission? If you have...
I take your point.
Hypothetically.
But with the present arrangement, how else can it be done with the present constitutional situation?
Therefore, we have...
method can be...
Therefore, we have a difficulty, so we know. We know in this country that our politicians cannot be trusted with the electoral system. We know that. Why should we trust them with the appointments of judges?
But you see, you're coming right back every time, whether you look at the electoral system, whether you look at a judiciary, you're coming right back to the separation of powers.
Yes.
It ultimately, that has got to be resolved by a constitutional decision in a referendum.
And therefore, the question of the setting up of a final court of appeal ought to be part of that process of decision.
Let's complete that sentence. The question of setting up of a Caribbean Court of Justice,
yes,
independent of the judiciary,
yes,
of the executive,
yes,
is a constitutional matter.
Absolutely.
And therefore, the people must have a say in any constitutional matter.
Yes.
The Constitution is going to be revised.
Absolutely.
Amended, reviewed and amended.
A question...
This is so obvious, it doesn't even have to be argued.
A question has been...
Think of the use of the Privy Council. You know, some famous decisions have come out of the Privy Council.
Yes, that's what I wanted you to come to.
Jamaican cases that apply through the entire Commonwealth.
Yes.
Look at the whole question of redefining self-defense.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Look at the question of...
Well, would you go into... I'm afraid our listeners may not understand what you're talking about. Would you go into that a little bit for me?
In the past, we used to think of self-defense that a person is entitled to take steps to defend himself as a reasonable man might think necessary.
Yes.
It has now been redefined as to what this man in the given situation honestly thought was necessary.
Yes.
What they call the subjective test is applied. No,
in other words, you're not using hindsight to condemn him.
No. Yes. You're not using the hypothetical reasonable man.
Yes.
Using what the man on charge is, because it is his state of mind that is relevant.
And the reasonable man, with the reasonable man judgment, might mean what a reasonable man now knows, which that man did not at the time know.
Yes, quite so. That is one. And the other question of what is delay when you're entitled to a fair trial within a reasonable time.
Mm-hmm.
These are cases that went to the Privy Council from Jamaica that are now applied or considered through the entire Commonwealth.
Yes.
No? And that particular one was based upon an American case.
Yes.
American decision.
And the other important element is, of course, that our courts rejected those arguments. The Privy Council accepted them.
Yes, but then you're equating the Jamaican court with the Caribbean court.
Yes.
It is necessarily so, eh?
Yes.
There might have been the Caribbean court might have arrived at the same decision.
This may well be so. On the other hand, it might not have.
It might not have.
The fact of the matter is...
The question of providing the person who is charged with statements of the prosecution witnesses.
Yes.
That had to go there too.
Uh-huh.
The Caribbean court might very well have done that.
Maybe so. We don't know. We have no means of knowing.
We have one until we are satisfied that the other
absolutely.
Is working.
What we know is that we have benefited in terms of the quality of justice from the fact that we had an appeal to the Privy Council.
No doubt about that.
No question about
and
that.
And Mark, you know, the Privy Council has been reversed is probably not the right word.
Uh-huh.
They have said that the Privy Council, United Nations Commission there,
uh-huh.
they have said in cases that the Jamaican, the Privy Council was wrong.
Yes.
The organization from which we have withdrawn.
Yes.
I can think off the top of my head of two cases
uh-huh.
where they say that the Privy Council was wrong.
This yes.
And I think it was Robinson.
Yes. This man who was denied the
council withdrew.
Council, yes.
And
Frank Robinson.
Frank Robinson. Nothing wrong with it.
Yes.
But the United Nations said, no.
Yes.
No. That is wrong.
Uh-huh.
And the other one that I'm thinking of is the power of the Director of Public Prosecutions to enter what is called a nulli prosequi, to discontinue a case.
Yes, and then recontinue it. And then
start again.
Restart it.
So yes. In the United Nations Court, they said, look, he has the power to take over, to institute, or to discontinue.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't have the power to change his mind.
Yes.
And once he has discontinued, to start again.
Yes.
You know, these are things where they have gone against the decision of the Privy Council.
Yes.
So it's not that the Privy Council is the final word on what is right and what is wrong and what
uh-huh.
is just.
Uh-huh.
But we seem to be coming back into the Caribbean instead of going out into the wider world.
In other words, we are going against a trend in the world.
Yes.
The Europeans, the British are going to the European court.
Right. We
are so are the Germans and the...
With the courts of laws, the highest court can be reversed.
Absolutely.
And has been reversed.
The world is going to the United Nations.
Yes.
And we are saying, no. We don't want to be part of that larger scheme of justice in the world.
Because it's too expensive.
Because, well... Is that the real
reason? That's the argument. Well, if it is, I can't accept that government of my country mm-hmm. could say it's because of a decision in a particular case, Pratt & Morgan, when uh-huh. it was right from the Privy Council. I mean, you can probably say you're tempted to infer that, but I prefer to say that could not be the reason
uh-huh.
unless they were to come out specifically and say, yes, that's the reason. And they have denied it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I submit to you, sir, that the reason... Probably the real reason probably is that we do not control the United Nations, we do not control the Privy Council, but we hope to be able to control our local courts.
May I put it this way to wrap up.
Uh-huh.
We do not have confidence in ourselves that we cannot put our decisions up to review.
Yes.
You follow me?
Yes.
When you have confidence in what you're doing, you can say, let any man look at this.
And he will...
I'm wrong or confirm.
And he will find it to be just.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. To me, that is the way to look at the test, you know.
Thank you very much.
It's not a question of looking at it the other way. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Fitz. We take a break. We come back in a moment.
All the paint you need for Christmas is going for a song in the Sherwin-Williams Chorus of Colors Yard Sale. Get up to 25% off all Sherwin-Williams decorative, automotive, and industrial paints, and even bigger discounts on red tag specials. If you're painting for Christmas, this is music to your ears. The Chorus of Colors Yard Sale, Saturday, November 28th, Sunday, November 29th, at the Sherwin-Williams factory, White Mile, Mandela Highway. And look out for Sherwin-Williams Super Specials at your nearest paint store, too. Charelle's, for all your beauty equipment and supplies, now at a new location but still in Central Plaza. On display, barber chairs, styling chairs, dryers, hair dryers, manicure tables, massage bed, steam facial, hot candy treatment, hair, nail and body products such as Revlon, Isoplus, Remedy, Carefree, European Secrets, Develop 10, Roberts and St. Ives. We carry a wide range of braids and wigs in 100% human hair. That's Charelle's, 18 Central Plaza and 6B East Queen Street, Kingston. Telephone 968-2569.
You're listening to Perkins Online. Our phone numbers from Kingston, 960-8455 and 960-8456. From Montego Bay, 952-0145 and 952-4081. Toll free, 1-888-991-4430. We now return you to Perkins Online.
Thank you very much. We're back here on that. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Purvis. How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Okay, I don't know if you watched television last night.
No, I didn't.
Oh,
I was rather, I had some other matters dealing with.
Yeah, I was so surprised to hear the commissioner of police was saying that crime has decreased.
Yes?
Yeah. Oh, yes, man.
Crime has decreased?
Yes.
I see. Crime is down.
If crime is down,
kidnapping is up.
Look, I'm Mr. Perkins.
Yes, sir.
I'm a straightforward person.
Uh-huh.
I'm from Highgate in St. Mary.
Uh-huh.
And I know your neighbor, eh?
Yes, yes.
And when your neighbor heard about that, he has to take two Panadol. No, serious about that. He was so shocked because...
Tell me something.
Yes.
Was he at the meeting on Sunday?
No,
Mr. Knight was under attack?
No, he was barred.
Eh?
No, he was asked not to come.
He was asked not to come?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. I want to phone him now sometime later on.
Yes.
Seriously, why? I don't know what the problem is within the PNP camp.
Uh-huh.
But he was asked not to come at the conference.
Oh.
In fact, they fooled him, gave him a wrong date.
Uh-huh.
And when he find out in the end, he asked not to come at the meeting.
I see.
You see?
Uh-huh.
When he took the... Just a minute. Yeah. When he took... when he watched television last night, and he heard about it, he phoned me and said, look, crime is down. That is what the commissioner of police is saying.
Yes.
And everything's okay now.
Yes.
And he just said to me that, look, it's 3 person died within one day. Not 2 days, you know, one day.
Yes.
Included a watchman.
Yes.
If I'm right.
Yes.
That was the three. And then the commissioner of police is saying that crime is down.
Yes.
18%.
Uh-huh.
I wonder which part of the world the commissioner of police live.
Well, I don't know, sir. It is a fact, though, that that their murders are running a little behind what they were last year.
Yes.
Last year being an election year.
Yes. Yes.
When we went over the 1,000 mark for the first time in the history of this country. this year.
Yes.
And broke the record for the second successive year.
In terms of murder?
In terms of the number of murders.
Yes.
After that record had stood for about 16 years.
Yes.
Now, it seems that this year,
uh-huh.
we are not likely, hopefully, we will not break last year's record.
Oh, yes. I mean, it was a mark.
Yes. But we will break the record of the year before.
Yes.
Right? We will be just behind the 1,000 mark.
Yes.
Because we are now at, up to yesterday, we were at 850.
850.
Uh-huh. And by my calculations,
uh-huh.
if the rate continues
uh-huh.
through to the end of the year, and you remember the Christmas season is coming.
Yes, yes.
If the rate continues to the end of the year,
yes.
we should add another 98 to that.
Marty,
uh-huh.
when I heard...
So we should be about 950.
Nine plus.
Which will be more than 1996.
Yeah. No, 1980.
More than 1980. 1980 is no longer a record.
Okay.
1996
yeah.
broke the 1980 record.
Yeah, that was how many emperors were...
I think it was 930 something.
Whoa.
So this year, we are likely to do... about at least 950,
mm-hmm.
given the present rate.
Anyway, a good friend of mine who went to the NEC meeting,
uh-huh.
He was saying that Minister Knight, some of his colleagues was calling me Bonehead.
They were calling Bonehead?
Yeah. And
I wonder where they got that from.
Can I give you a typical joke?
Oh, yes.
Okay, they are saying there's a certain talk show host who's a program,
uh-huh.
they didn't mention your name.
Uh-huh.
I said that car show was right to call a Bonehead.
Is that so?
Yes, my.
The people in the NEC meeting were saying
this? Some of them. When he was talking about crime and violence,
yes.
some of them were saying that there are certain car show hosts which name don't mention.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, maybe it's you.
No, man. They wouldn't be listening to this program.
What? Your program?
Uh-huh.
Mr. Perkins. You don't know anything, man. Every minister office, you see,
uh-huh.
monitor your program. I don't know if maybe if you slip up, you know, they maybe want to sue or something like
that. Yes.
for every ministry office in Jamaica is Winmore Perkins Online.
Oh, is that so?
I didn't know. One of the most popular talk show hosts right now in Jamaica. No person about that.
Oh, is that so? I didn't know that.
Mr. Perkins, they do a survey right now.
But that's not what the survey say, you know, sir.
What survey?
Mark, you mean if I were advising the people who don't like a particular program.
Yes.
One of the things that I would advise them to do is to get some surveys done.
Yes.
And to determine beforehand that these surveys were going to say that that program had no listenership.
Oh.
Right?
Yes.
And this might influence advertising and therefore influence the economics of the program, you know?
Yeah. Okay, can I give you a typical
joke? Yes.
I don't know if you know Highgate very well.
Uh-huh.
Highgate, when we went to Port Mara.
Yeah.
Whenever you enter Highgate town,
uh-huh,
going back to the bank,
uh-huh,
across the board, going back to Port Mara.
Yes.
And Perkins Online.
Uh-huh.
It's 2 minutes to 10. They put on their radio station and at Tunnel 2,
uh-huh,
just hear you.
Uh-huh.
Whether they don't like your criticism or not,
uh-huh,
but your program is very, very wealthy in St. Mary.
Oh, is that?
Which is a PNP, as you know, stronghold.
Uh-huh.
You understand?
Oh, well.
But coming back to Uncle now.
Uh-huh.
Uncle, when he...
No, but the meeting, what else they said about the minister at the meeting?
Look, I wasn't at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I was told that Katie Knight was under severe pressure.
So I gather he said so himself at the... He was late, and now on a quarter late for the magistrate's conference.
One hour and a half.
Hour and a half?
Yeah, 1 hour. Yeah.
And he told them that that had he left the NEC meeting,
yes,
he would perhaps not have been there addressing them in that capacity.
Yeah, because what he was, what I get to understand,
uh-huh,
with whom went to the meeting,
uh-huh,
he was attacked by 2/3 of the NEC members.
Yes.
In terms of crime and violence.
Yes.
And there was an individual, I don't mention his name, saying that no matter why they call a bonehead.
Uh-huh.
And he was so upset because he had a look and felt that, and threw it away and vexed.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, man, vexed. And said, what do you expect me to do?
Uh-huh.
And along with Deacon Twist.
Deacon was there?
Yeah, man, he was very upset about it.
So Deacon was upset too?
Of course.
Oh, yeah?
He was upset because, uh-huh, things getting out of hand.
Yes.
You see, and he was saying that, and what are you going to do? Pretending to crime and violence.
No, Deacon was upset with whom? With the minister or with the people who were criticized?
No, the minister was saying then, I'm going to give you a clue.
Uh-huh.
The minister was saying that come next year, he's going to put in a policy and plan to eliminate crime and violence.
Next year?
Next year.
So why didn't put in those policy and plans 10 years ago?
That
so Deacon didn't ask him that?
Deacon was saying to him, okay, hold on since you're a minister. And, you know, he was trying to inform, but, trying to go across the board.
Uh-huh.
And I said, no, I want you to answer that question.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even know that you was a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
You're a lawyer, I am a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And I want you to answer my question straightforward.
Uh-huh.
You understand? And he was looking.
So Deacon put him on the spot?
I believe him, my mom confused, man.
Oh, Lord.
Very, very confused.
Oh, Lord.
When he was talking, you know, when a person to a courthouse,
uh-huh,
and a buck,
yes,
it's something you just look and...
But you said you weren't there. You're talking like a man who was there.
And Mate, a good friend of mine who went there is, uh-huh, a member of the NEC.
Yes.
Neville was not to turn up. I don't know the reason why.
Yes.
For him not to turn up.
Uh-huh.
But I'm gonna consult him sometime this afternoon.
Oh, I see.
To see what the problem is.
Maybe they thought that he would have come and told us about it here.
You see? And what taught me is that because you phone the program very often,
uh-huh,
they don't like it.
Uh-huh.
Because what one person is saying that Neville is a straightforward person.
A what?
Straightforward person.
Straightforward.
Yes.
Yes.
You don't hide it.
Yes.
It as it is.
Yes.
And your friend, that would be John Maxwell, was there. He was looking across the board.
John Maxwell?
Yes, ma'am.
Was at the NEC meeting?
Yes, ma'am.
What would he be doing there?
He's a journalist. I guess maybe.
No, man. No, sir. I don't believe that.
Well, I was told that he was...
No. Well, your informant sounded like he was very inaccurate to me.
No. John Maxwell, the white beard man.
The white beard man?
John Maxwell, who said, who told me that you were saying that Tivoli, here I come. That is John Maxwell I'm talking about.
I said Tivoli Gardens, here I come.
No,
here
he was
come.
Saying to me that which John Maxwell was told me that you're... one of the wickedest man, because he did not say that.
He didn't say?
He said he did not say
that. Joking, man. He's not serious.
No, I'm serious about that.
Well, his brain playing tricks on him.
Pardon me?
His brain is playing tricks on him.
He said, you're one of the, he's like Hitler.
Who?
He said, you're like Hitler, you don't have this country into your heart.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah, when I mention it to him.
Well, him can say it. Anything, nothing that he says is of any real importance.
Look here before I leave.
But I don't, I cannot imagine him being at the NEC meeting.
Well, what happened, you have journalists across the board.
But journalists are not admitted to NEC meetings, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. I feel reasonably sure of that, yes.
No, a reporter was there.
They're private meetings.
No, what's the meeting over?
No, your informant is probably wrong.
Surely?
Right? So maybe they didn't call... maybe they didn't call Mr. Nightbones after all.
No. What are you saying to me? Aren't you saying? Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Let me investigate some more.
Yeah,
all right. Thank you very much. All the best to you. Okay. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Uh-huh.
I called to go to sort of basic and fundamental this morning, but uh-huh. You mentioned something regarding Chief Justice's
yes.
pronouncement, and I'd just like to touch on that a bit.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of people have been vilified, and I think Jeremiah and Thomas have been too, you know.
Yes.
I think that the statement made has misled people.
Uh-huh.
And if it is done deliberately that way, that's dishonest. If the Chief Justice doesn't understand what message Jeremiah, for instance, would bring in then,
uh-huh.
I think he falls into the category of he who knows not and knows not that he knows not.
That is quite true.
And
that is quite true. Jeremiah was one of the great prophets of the Old Testament.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. And I would refer him and others to read Jeremiah chapter 5.
Yes.
It would be instructive.
Not only that, sir. This notion of a doubting Thomas.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Doubt is not a bad thing. It's a very good thing to doubt.
True.
Right?
True.
And the problem with some people is that they do not, their minds cannot accommodate doubt. And they are so certain of the rightness of their course, right? That they will lead the world into disorder.
Indeed.
Right?
Indeed.
So any man who does not have a little space in his head for doubt, don't trust him. He's a dangerous man.
I agree with you.
Hold on just a moment for me.
You get connected?
Yes, man. What about you?
Me connected long time.
You too can get connected to the Blue IGL cylinder for the best cooking gas value in town. The Blue cylinder is available island-wide from over 300 IGL.
78 and 3/4 Hagley Park Road. Engine and suspension parts for Nissan Civilian, Atlas trucks, radiators for Sunny and Bluebird, decarb and overhaul kits at unbeatable special discounted prices until the end of the year. XL Auto, 78 and 3/4 Hagley Park Road, telephone 968-2357. If it's a Nissan, call XL. Promar Consultants Limited is a leading provider of computer system solutions. We specialize in point-of-sale systems, database and network administration. Call Promar Consultants at 941-1630.
This is Perkins Online. You can reach us by calling 952-0145 and 952-4081 from Montego Bay, and 960-8455 and 960-8456 from Kingston. Toll free, 1-888-991-4430. Now, back to Perkins Online.
Thank you very much. We're back here.
It's Mr. Perkins.
Yes, sir.
I just want to give one example to those who listen, because it's necessary to bring them straight. Doubt is not really a bad thing at all. It is indeed a good
thing. It is a very good thing.
Very
because
good thing.
Doubt causes you, first of all, to look for the facts to support any argument or case or position, right?
Exactly.
And it allows you to keep examining, re-examining your positions to make sure that they are what they ought to be, right?
That's right.
So when you men get notions into their head, I have no space for doubt, and they are so certain that they are right, right? They are dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Right? Very dangerous. They lead you into all kinds of mishaps.
Yes, and these are who lead others astray.
Yeah.
Another one that some even Christians vilify is Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus was searching for truth when he went to Jesus.
Yes,
and he had to do it on the cover of...
Oh, there are a lot of people in history who are vilified like that. So Machiavelli is one of them.
Yes.
Right?
And this man you mentioned the other day, this monk, English monk, that...
Oh, yes. Who listened to Alcuin.
Alcuin?
Yes.
A-L... How do you spell that?
A-L-C-U-I-N, okay. I believe. Yes.
All right. I just want to show something here. Look at what Jeremiah was saying in his day. He's saying, this is what the Lord says. Chapter 5, verse 1. Go up and down the streets of Jerusalem. Look around and consider. Search through these squares. If you can find one person who deals honestly and seeks the truth,
yes,
I will forgive the city.
Yes.
Although they say, quote, as surely as the Lord lives, unquote, still they are swearing falsely. and that is what God was talking to Jeremiah. And
yes, well, men are uncomfortable with words like that, you know. A lot of men are.
All right, back to the point I want to call about.
Yes.
To basics and fundamentals. Mr. Perkins, what is interest?
Interest?
Yes.
What you mean?
Well, people talk about that part of our economic problem today is high interest rate.
Interest rate.
What is interest?
Interest is the yield that is paid on money that is borrowed. Is lent out.
Yes.
For it is the price. It is the price that is paid for the use of money, of funds.
Right.
If I have some money, I could use my money, right? I could take it and buy salt fish or whatever, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Or I could take it and buy a house or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you would like the use of that money,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I say, all right, I will let you have the use of that money,
yeah,
and you will pay me for the right to use that money. You will pay me a price,
yes,
and that price is called interest.
Oh, Mr. Perkins, that's so good. It clears up in people's mind. You know, I asked that question of Jack Boussier when he came on POSJ Viewpoint, when Charles Ross was the moderator in 1994, when he had just been appointed governor of the bank. And Charles laughed, you know, because he thought it was a stupid question. But the reason why I had asked it was, in those days, they had the idea that they would mop up liquidity,
yes,
which they had got from a previous government.
Yes.
But you know what they took? That liquidity that they mop up and do, they go and sit down on it at the Bank of Jamaica.
Absolutely.
It has done absolutely nothing.
Yes.
And then Mr. Perkins, they turn around and say, look, we're going to give you 50% on it.
Yes.
Where do you get that 50% from?
Well, that 50% has to be found out of the product of other people.
Well, that is...
Have used all the money to
that
produce.
That is safe because the money that they took, that they mopped up, produced absolutely nothing.
That is quite true.
So that's safe. It's a bandulu economy, sir.
Well...
Absolutely bandulu.
It is, it is... And, you know, sir, the really distressing point is this. If you pour money into an economy, right? When I say money, the government prints money, as they say, right? The Bank of Jamaica creates money and just floods the economy with it. It creates inflation, right?
And yes.
That is the money that they paid 50% to mop up in order to stop the inflationary process.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, Lord.
But the fact of the matter is, it is, you know what makes it an excessively foolish policy?
Go ahead.
Let us say that we have, we produce $1 million worth of goods
that is
in Jamaica.
Production you're talking about.
Yes, we produce.
Yes.
Let us say that we produce nothing but bananas.
Yes.
Sorry, we produce £1 million of bananas. And we pay ourselves $1 million for producing that £1 million of bananas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Next year, we produce the same £1 million of bananas.
Yeah.
And we pay ourselves $2 million for producing that £1 million of bananas. There is inflation. What then happens is that the value of the dollar in terms of the goods that we produce, bananas, has fallen.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because it is now takes $2 instead of $1 to procure
the same amount.
A pound of bananas.
Yes.
Okay. Now, so that extra $1 million that has poured into the economy that caused the inflation, that is what we want to mop up. And we mop it up paying 50% on it to mop it up.
Yes.
Now, there are some other considerations that arise, but the real point that I want to make to you is that it is an excessively stupid policy. You know why?
Right.
Because the extra $1 million that you poured into the economy cannot produce infinite inflation. It can produce only a certain amount of inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And when it has produced that amount of inflation, unless you pour more money into the economy, the inflation is at an end.
Yes.
I mean, all other things being equal.
Yes.
You follow what I mean?
Yeah, to dry
so off. All you had to, yes, all you had to do, there was no need to mop up any liquidity. Just leave the liquidity there. It would, the inflationary, when you take up a stone, sir, and you throw that stone, the stone moves through the air,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Now, it moves through the air because of the force that you, using your muscles,
yes.
put behind it.
Right.
But when that force is not an infinite force.
Okay.
And when that force is exhausted, then the stone begins to obey the law of gravity
mm-hmm.
and the law of inertia
yes.
and falls back to earth.
Yes.
Right?
Or hit a wall and drop.
Or it dropped. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, in the same way that that force behind the stone is not infinite and the stone must drop when the force is exhausted,
mm-hmm.
when the impulsion of that $1 million that you put into the economy is exhausted,
mm-hmm.
then the inflation stops.
Yes, that's true.
Right?
They don't understand.
There was no need to mop up the liquidity.
Too much bandwidth in the thing. And Mr. Perkins.
Yes. Quite apart from which, the 50% of interest
mm-hmm.
that you're paying on the money is causing, when you put that back into the economy, as at some point you must, unless you default, that is going to cause further inflation.
Yes, because you're injecting, and you have to mop up that again.
Yes.
And it's a nonsensical cycle that they have.
Absolutely. All right, sir.
Just one more thing, sir.
One more, quickly.
Yes. This thing that you mentioned about the inflation, that's another issue again, you know.
Yes.
The devaluation inflation cycle is, and people need to understand. I just want to point something to you here. Deuteronomy 25 verse 13. Do not have two different weights in your bag. one heavy, one light.
Uh-huh.
Do not have two different measures in your house,
uh-huh.
one large, one small.
Yes.
You must have accurate and honest weights and
yes.
measures so that you may live long in the land your Lord is giving you.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. All the best to you. Okay, hello?
Hello.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Uh-huh.
My name's Charles Nesson.
Charles?
Nesson, N-E-S-S-O-N.
Nesson, yes.
I'm a professor of law from Harvard Law School.
Yes.
I run something called the Berkman Center
uh-huh.
for Internet and Society.
Yes.
I'm down here over the weekend at a conference in Port Antonio.
What about?
About Internet.
And I see.
The future of Port Antonio and Jamaica.
Oh, is that so? Yes. Oh, very interesting. Yes.
And I've listened to your earlier conversation this morning
uh-huh.
and compliment you on the quality of the constitutional discussion.
Oh, thank you very much. What particularly struck you?
This morning?
Yes.
The discussion of relative relationship of an independent court outside of Jamaica
yes.
with a court that is somehow answerable only to within Jamaica.
Yes.
That's an extremely interesting subject.
Mr. Phipps made an interesting point that what we really should be saying is we should be prepared to expose our judicial decisions to the commons of the world, to the United Nations Court, to the wherever. If you can find fault with it, you tell us what that fault is.
It's an excellent position, but
yes.
maybe not for everything.
Yes.
If it's biased, for example, towards human rights.
Yes.
So that an outside court can protect human rights.
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense
uh-huh.
because you worry about an internal system
yes.
cannibalizing.
Yes.
And getting mean,
uh-huh.
being taken over and getting vicious.
Yes.
Where an outside protection for human rights would be very powerful. On
yes.
the other hand, you want a country to be able to take responsibility for itself.
Yes.
So I thought that what the Attorney General said, or the Chief Justice, excuse me, had a ring of truth to it.
Yes.
And so when you called it a disgrace, I might have picked a bone with you.
Well, I tell you something. It seems to me why I called it a disgrace is that I should have hoped that if the Chief Justice were going to make a comment on a matter like this, that he would have put forward an argument relating to the quality of justice. If the Chief Justice can say that Jamaicans or West Caribbean people will get a better quality of justice from having a Caribbean Supreme Court. Fine, I am prepared to examine that argument. For the Chief Justice to be arguing that the reason for having a Caribbean Supreme Court has to do with our being masters in our own, nothing to do with justice, but our being masters in our own vineyards, and our not sending cases to, what is it, colonial, hold on just a moment, let me see, I don't want to misquote him. What he says is that we, the judges and the magistrates of the region, must commit ourselves to the development of the law so that we can silence the Jeremiahs and the doubting Thomases who feel nothing good, who feel nothing good can come out of the Caribbean and would enslave us. Right? By continuing to perpetuate a final court of appeal in foreign land presided over by foreign masters who they would have you believe are whatever. foreign masters. Is that an appropriate basis upon which the Chief Justice of Jamaica should be supporting the argument for a Caribbean court? I don't think so.
Well, it's
hold just a moment for me, please.
Well, the workers' man, come again, man. Now hear this.
Step up to the post office and show your hand. Step up and join the partner plan. The workers' bank, come again. The workers' bank, come and pray. Now it's partner time, and me have a joke. I tell you now, I saw it be grow.
The Workers Bank Postal Banking Service. We have the partner plan at selected post offices.
By popular demand, Hypro Farm and Garden Center invites all farmers, gardeners, housewives, and handymen to a massive free Christmas sale November 27 and 28. Get the best brands, best service, and best prices on over 3,000 items. Prices slashed up to 50% on selected items. Prizes and surprises for lucky customers. Hypro Farm and Garden Center, White Miles and Catherine. Telephone 984-791-8220. Fax 984-5914.
There is an insect smaller than a fly whose wings produce an annoying sharp buzz. The female sucks blood from humans and animals. This insect is the mosquito. Thank goodness there's big on insect spray. It's fast and merciless, quickly killing all flying insects. Bagon. No other insect spray works as fast or as hard. Bagon from Bayer. It's effective.
Since time began, the quaint little town of Castile in Spain has been one of the world's most respected producers of quality soap, thanks to its endless supply of olive oil. Now you can enjoy the trusted tradition that has become Castile soap. Generations of beautiful women and their families have trusted olive oil to moisturize and gently care for their skin. Castile Beauty Soap with olive oil, pure tradition.
You're listening to Perkins Online. Our phone numbers from Kingston, 960-8455 and 960-8456. From Montego Bay, 952-0145 and 952-4081. Toll free, 1-888-991-4430. We now return you to Perkins Online.
We're back here with you, sir.
Yes.
If I might, before you answer, you see, if I might just set out briefly what my argument against it, his
Please.
Statement is. One, it is a political argument and not a judicial argument, right? Two, it is an appeal to nationalism, to a narrow nationalism in a world that is moving in the opposite direction, right? An appeal to nationalism in an area like this is, in my view, no more valid than an appeal to tribalism. Because a nation and a tribe are essentially the same thing. They are units of cooperation, right? And we are living in a world, human beings are essentially cooperative animals. We have to cooperate in order to survive. We cooperate at various levels. The family, the extended family, the clan, the tribe, the nation, each one of them a higher level of cooperation, a broader area of cooperation, and therefore a more effective unit in the struggles for survival. The world is moving beyond nationalism. It is moving to regionalism and to globalization. Right? And for us to be moving in the opposite direction, we are moving towards the 19th and perhaps the 18th century.
A very excellent argument. Now, you make two points.
Yes.
The first is political.
Yes.
And your point is that somehow the Chief Justice should not be making a political argument.
Not in relation to a matter like this.
But isn't the law grounded in reality? Isn't it grounded in real politics? And doesn't the Chief Justice speak to a real fear, a fear of domination from the outside?
Is there a fear of domination from the outside?
This is a country, so far as I understand it, that's rooted in slavery.
Yes.
So my question would be, what is the Rasta way?
Well, hold on. I don't know if I would argue that this country is rooted in slavery. Slavery was part of our experience, our historical experience. But that could be argued in relation to Britain.
I only make the argument for Jamaica.
No, I'm saying that it would be perhaps as valid an argument for Britain. All over the world, slavery has existed at some point.
Except the difference is that Britain was the slave master.
No. In Roman times?
Oh, well, you're going back pretty far.
Yes, but hold on a moment. Let me point out something to you. There's a man named A.W. Southern who wrote a history of the Christian Church and pointed out that when the Roman Empire collapsed, the Europeans spent the next 800 years trying to reconstruct it. Right? They set up a Holy Roman Emperor, and indeed the Pope of Rome exercised towards the end of the Middle Ages more power, more real power than any Roman emperor had previously exercised. Now, that did not prevent the Europeans from creating the greatest inflorescence of material culture that the world had up to then known. And indeed, when the Europeans came to modernize their world, at the time of what is called the Renaissance, how did they go about it? They went back into their colonial past.
Well, I'd like to, just on that.
Yes.
The timing is first the Roman Empire.
Yes.
Which builds a magnificent network of connection with roads and people in order.
Yes.
There was a civilization.
And law. Yes.
And it then came apart, and people desperately longed
sought to reconstruct it
that had been there.
Uh-huh.
But it took a period of going through the Dark Ages and coming centuries later to the Renaissance before it finally flowered.
But the Renaissance involved a looking back.
It also involved
to Rome.
Very much a looking forward.
Maybe so, but it was a looking back to Rome that inspired the looking forward to the modern world.
Well, I'm here having to do with internet and the possibility of, in a sense, a Renaissance. I think that Jamaica had order with the British, that there's been some decline in order. And people would like to feel the old order, at least in the way things work.
Yes.
Although not the old order in terms of the way freedom works.
Yes.
A new freedom with order. That seems to me to be an argument that if the Chief Justice articulates, I agree with you. I don't think he articulated all of it. I completely agree with you that if he had stated the other side, the possibility of achieving justice through this, that would be excellent.
Yes.
But to ground it in reality, that also seems excellent to me.
He has grounded it in political prejudice. He has grounded it in a gross misrepresentation of history. You know, it has become fashionable in countries like this to look back upon the colonial period as something horrible that happened, something that is to be expunged.
No, it's the history, it's the heritage. It's what makes the present.
It is what makes the present.
And the question is, how do we make the future?
How we make the future.
So that would take me to the second point.
Yes.
Which is nationalism.
Yes.
And the idea that somehow what's being expressed is no better than tribalism, and the movement is to a form of universalism. I think at the same time, things are going universal. They're also going local. That is, localism, a focus on Port Antonio, for example. I look at Port Antonio. It's, to me, the most beautiful place on earth.
It is quite beautiful.
And it has...
I grew up there.
You did? Yes. Whereabouts?
Well, I went to Titchfield. Which, have you seen Titchfield?
No, I have not.
It doesn't now look like what it looked like in those days, because we have contrived to uglify most things in Jamaica. But it was a beautiful place, Those buildings that are now in the... Well, you haven't seen the place. It's a school that used to be an old fort on the edge of the sea between the east and the west harbors. You must ask somebody to take you to Titchfield. And try to... There are some hideous buildings that have been put up in front of the old buildings. Try to imagine those not there. And to look, I remember when I was a boy, taken there that first morning by my mother, and I stood at the gate and looked at that vast expanse of lawn, and in the back, that range of beautiful buildings, simple but beautiful, and then behind the old fort and the sea. I grew up there. It was wonderful.
Well, I'd say an essential part of our visit down here has been to meet with the people of Port Antonio and outside Port Antonio, and to share visions of what the possible future could be.
Yes.
With internet as a kind of mediator, a kind of way of focusing attention and broadcasting the beauties of the place.
Yes.
And one of the strongest currents was the desire to preserve Port Antonio at its most beautiful, rather than see it exploited in ways that would turn it into, nothing against it, but Ocho Rios or Montego.
No, the point is well made.
Right.
Point is well made.
And at the same time, do it in a way that enables commerce and education in the area.
Mm-hmm.
The quest, in effect, for us is to establish plans to develop internet commerce, e-commerce, and to do it around not mass products, but products of exquisite quality, world-class quality, in limited supply, and to express that in all aspects of the enterprise, the way it's done, from where it's done, what it's done with the big principle being by, from, and with Jamaica.
Yes. But you don't think that Port Antonio... Well, to me, Port Antonio nowadays looks very shabby. I remember it as a gem.
It was the secret of the elegant rich that was forgotten. Kept too secret, and it needs to be revived.
Yes.
There is spirit here.
But it is also evidence, and Ocho Rios and Montego Bay are themselves evidence of a kind of impoverishment that has occurred in Jamaica.
Correct.
An impoverishment of spirit.
Correct.
We need to get away from it.
I met with a woman here.
Yes.
Who's quite remarkable. Sister Fire.
Yes.
And agreed to become her legal counsel. On behalf of the right of Jamaican women to smoke marijuana under the law of the Maroons.
Yes.
There's spirit here.
Yes, well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, hello. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Perkins?
Yes, morning.
Good morning. I'm on your program.
Yes, glad to have you.
Mr. Perkins, I'm living at Montego Bay. I take my letter at the number one post office.
Yes.
And I tell you, Mr. Perkins, there is a girl working there. We don't know what to do. Politician put her there, so she just can't move. I called the postmaster general and I spoke to her. She said, my dear, you're asking me to do something that I can't do. I went there for my letter. The second time now this happened to me. One time, the first time I went to the, asked for the letter, I gave her two names. Lady asked one name. I said, well, give me one of the names that I mentioned to you. She folded her hand and just sit there looking at me. I must call for one name. Anyway, I cooled down because my temper was really, I was really getting upset. Anyway, I cooled down and I just asked for one letter to give it to me. I went there one day this week again. I know my...
So what about the other name that you had asked for?
The number one. The other name is another person's name.
Yes. What about that? She didn't give you that letter?
She looked. She didn't have any. There was no letter for that person.
I thought.
But she couldn't just take the two names. She pulled her hand and she wouldn't do anything. Anyway, I went there the other day. I was alone at the window. She just got some mail, and she were going through the mail. Well, if it was the three, if it was three or four of us standing, I know I would have to wait. But it was only me alone. I said to me, lady, you have to wait until I go through. I called for the letter, and she would even pay me no mind. I stand there for about 10 minutes, yeah. And that girl...
Hold on just a moment. Hold on.
IsoPlus 24-hour holding spray was developed to provide a firm hold to create today's sophisticated hairstyles, while adding shine, strength, and body to your hair. IsoPlus, the plus for fabulous hair.
Visit American Jewelry Company, International Jewelry, Jewel and Crystals, and Paramount Jewelers for a wide variety of gold and silver jewelry, wedding bands, engagement rings, wall and table clocks, watches, appliances, television sets, VCRs, component sets, massaging cushions, attaché cases, crystals, and crystal centerpieces. They are giving away up to 60% cash discounts on all items, plus a chance to win a 27-inch Sony television set every month up to January 1999.
It's a massive clearance sale at Thruway Hardware. Held over till November 29. Drastic reductions on tiles, plywood, steel, cement, PVC pipes and fittings, bathtubs, $1,500, locks, $100, doors from $250, imported cedar board, furniture finishes, paints and ceramic tiles. It's a massive clearance sale. Thruway Hardware, held over till November 29. 35 Blinds Road. Call 960-5099. Massive.
Derek, I just got this. Take a look.
Blue Cross is reducing rates on new groups for the remainder of 1990 and through 99.
They made a large surplus in 97, and they're giving the benefits back by reducing their rates.
You know, Barbara, Blue Cross has always been a solid company that cares for its clients.
I know, and we've improved the quality of our healthcare program because though they've cut costs, the excellent coverage and benefits still remain. Derek, I think the team is going to love this.
Blue Cross.
I'm glad we called Blue Cross.
This is Perkins Online. You can reach us by calling 952-0145 and 952-4081 from Montego Bay, and 960-8455 and 960-8456 from Kingston. Toll free 1-888-991-4430. Now, back to Perkins Online.
Yes, Bob.
I don't know what, if she cannot handle the public, why don't she leave the job and let
well,
somebody...
Well, but I tell you something, the complaints that you have made, you know, if you go to the post office and you want two persons mail, ask her for the first one, and when she's, because she's dealing with a lot of people, right?
Well, I know that.
And it is easier if you say to her, I've come for John Brown's mail. And when she has given you John Brown, you say, is there any for Sarah Jones? Right? Wouldn't that be easier on her?
Well, that is true.
Yes, rather than giving her three names.
Do that after that.
Yes.
But then I went there and she, you know, just look for the maid. I was only the only person that was standing in here.
Yes. And what was she doing?
She was
you might have a deep analysis, but you can't get started with a deep analysis that is, you know, very much tertiary.
What's the United States?
should be coming to but I think everybody afraid. They're relentless.
And so you can't tell people not to.
But they want to on certain status. They want us to not go.
Yeah, it's not that it's irrelevant.
No.
It just
I think for a lot of people to support them. But, you know.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I'm willing to go with any guidelines.
Okay, I'll start again, and I'll even make it quicker. The basic complaint about Peter's tenure can be made about every tenure decision that has been made at Harvard under the present process. It's a process that's completely autocratic, star chamber. The president answers to no one. The president can appoint any kind of ad hoc committee, biased or not. And he can disregard any decision of any ad hoc committee, biased or not. It's a horrible process. It's a process that the Supreme Court reviewed in the context of University of Pennsylvania and mentioned in passing that Harvard had grave doubts about the process and mentioned in passing that Harvard was even worse, at the far end of the extreme of potentially unfair, and that you have you not only endorse Peter's specific complaints in this case, but you think that that you have a greater complaint, which is that the Harvard takes very brilliant young people, uses them for all they're worth, acquires great teachers, and then just chews them up and spits them out. That it's not something that Harvard should be proud of. They should be going to great pains to look to give people tenure who have done such a good job for Harvard, not to find any possible excuse for secretively denying them tenure. And then, if you want to go on to say, there's another problem with this, and it's not just the problem of the cost to the young people and to young people who you know, submit their blood, sweat, and tears to Harvard. It's a cost, and the cost to the system. It's even of a cost to the decision makers themselves, because it permits people to construct stories that reflect discredit upon the president of our university. If you look at this story and you see that the president's best friend happens to be the man who was Peter's greatest enemy in the government department, then you have to begin to wonder whether the president is in fact deciding on the merits or is a biased person who decides in favor of his friends. And nobody should be able to say that about President Rubenstein. We should want to have the president protected from such allegations, not able to be attacked in that way. It's very important that our system support the president and support the young people and support everyone in it to be an honest and open and fair system.
in my position, I've seen this system work unfairly against many people. I've seen it happen at the law school, and I've seen it happen at the college, and it becomes more distressing every time it happens. And there comes a point where, even at the risk of being ridiculed in the community, I feel like I have to stand up and say something. I'm a person who believes in the law, and I believe in openness, and I believe in due process, and we are not doing that with these people. And I have to say something. It's my obligation to support people who are being dealt with unfairly. And people coming up for tenure in this university are routinely being dealt with unfairly. I'm glad I took Peter's case as his advisor. I wish I had taken Bonnie Honig's case. I wish I had taken these cases as far back as they arose, because this system is rotten and it should be changed. And if you say, and I feel that I've done this at considerable risk to myself, because I opened myself up to grave criticisms by my colleagues for exposing Harvard's faults, by the Crimson, by students, by whoever wants to criticize me. I in some way endanger my own future. But I feel that this is a very important issue, and I'm willing to take any of the criticism in order to put forward the justice argument that our young, non-tenured people deserve a fair process when they come up for tenure. Let them fire me. I'd be proud to go on these grounds. I think I would say, and as strange as it may seem, I feel like I'm acting as a friend to the administration by bringing this complaint. I thought at the beginning, when we raised this complaint, that having it fairly stated to them, that they would naturally say, you're right, this isn't a very good system, and we should move toward a process in which things get better, in which we make this better. I truly expected none of this to have become this big publicity stuff, because if they had done the right thing, this never would have happened. And I think I'm acting as a friend to Rubenstein to point this out, because his enemies would love to have these stories to be able to tell about him. I happen to like Rubenstein. I don't want to believe any of these stories, but listen to what they could say. And he is ill-served by a procedure that permits people to gossip in this way.
This is me. Charlie Nesson. Speaking directly to you. I'm scared about it. I've held back. First, let me say, I feel I'm of you. I graduated from Harvard in the class of 1960, from Harvard Law School in 1963. I joined the faculty of Harvard in 1966, was tenured in 1969. Assumed the Weld Professorship of Law somewhere along the line. Actually took the mantle on me. I feel I speak for Harvard. Not exclusively, but surely as much as any other Harvard man. Or Harvard woman. I think something wrong has happened here. I think it's been happening in our midst for a while. I believe in the law. Open process of law. Due process. Fair process. Transparency. Accountability. Those are the bigger principles that are at stake here. But still, this comes down to a case of individual justice. My claim is that this procedure that Harvard uses opens Harvard presidents up to stories of abuse. It creates a blot on the name of Harvard that stories like this can be told. The question is not whether the story is true. The question is whether the story is credible. That's the question I ask you. I didn't start out wanting to take this case public.